In 1 Corinthians, the Corinthians, everything about them was they brought their past into the church. They had come to know Jesus Christ, but they were walking like men. Now, everything that when you come to chapter 5, everything that was not to be a part of the brother's life was actually applauded within the society and within the culture. Because we saw in chapter 5, "But I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man calls himself a brother, who's a fornicator, a covetous, an idolater, a slanderer, a drunkard, a swindler, that you have no part." And you say, "Well, wait a minute." He says, for what do I have to judge people on the outside?" He says, "I'm talking about people within the church." Well, you take a look at that list, and I'd say, man, they must not be believers. No. You'll find that even as a believer, we can sure try to fill a God-shaped emptiness with a lot of different stuff. And it's awfully easy to get to the place that we try to fill that, especially if it's applauded within society. Fornication was applauded within society. Drunkenness and drinking was a part of society. If someone could actually swing a good deal and be an extortioner, it was applauded because he or she had made money. And it was just natural. If someone had hurt you, you're going to slander and hurt them. That's just the way life was. Well, then you come to know Jesus Christ. It's awfully easy to fall back into those old patterns. And when we came to, we saw one that in chapter 6, verses 1 to 9, or 1 to 8, that they were taking, for the smallest thing, they were taking brothers and sisters to court. The problem you have is that we have been forgiven, we've been justified, we've been set free. And it's awfully easy to get to the place we fall back into the old pattern. It's awfully easy to do it like we always did it, or even become a part of society. When you come to chapter 6, verses 9 to 20, there was a problem not only within society, it's a problem today. There's a sexual purity that was a part of society. It was non-existent. It was once again encouraged. It had come into the church. But it isn't just that. And if we narrow it down to the place that we're talking about sex and sexual preferences, that's not what we're talking about. He says, "What know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, and therefore we should glorify God in it? We have been purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and we need to give Him the glory." You see, that is the substance and context that we're talking about. Our Father, I thank You that You've set us free, and yet it's so easy to fall back into the old pattern, the old way of thinking, the old way of doing things. Lord Jesus, I would ask You that we could forget who we were and realize who we are because of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's say that you live in a community that has a lot of really manicured yards. I mean, you've got one of these 2-acre things, and it takes you like 2 hours to mow the thing. And so your neighbor is right next to you. And you get the bright idea that you're going to take 5 or 6 hogs and you're going to stick them in his yard. And I mean, it starts raining and these pigs are just rooting up everything. Well, let me tell you, the whole neighborhood's ticked to begin with before you buy the hogs, but that's one thing. It's another thing when you say, "We can't do that." You say, "Well, why not?" It's because the yard doesn't belong to you. And it's awfully easy to get to the place that we stick a hog in somebody else's yard and we think it's okay. It's the same thing with our bodies. You see, we think that this body belongs to us. Do you realize that when you came to know Jesus Christ, that you gave up ownership and now this body belongs to somebody else? And yet so often we are having the hogs, the pigs, rooting within our lives, messing everything up. Because notice this body belongs to me. Now here's my question. What if this body doesn't belong to you? You see, we sell the same thing out. Did you ever notice how they sell abortion? A woman can do with her body whatever she wants. If you're a believer, what if that body doesn't belong to you? If you are into drugs or alcohol, this body belongs to you, so you can do whatever you want. What if this body doesn't belong to you? You are in a sexual relationship, and I can do with this body whatever I want. What if this body doesn't belong to you? It's the same way as taking a bunch of pigs, sticking them in somebody else's yard, and allow them to root the thing up, and then you say, well, it's okay. It's not okay. We as believers need to get to the place that this body doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Jesus Christ. And what does Jesus Christ want me to do with this body? That's the problem that we have when we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 20. Because the Corinthians are saying, this is my body. I can do with it whatever I want. And what Paul's saying, it's not your body. So, what if this body isn't mine? Notice his purification in verses 9 through 11. He says, know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? But be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed, and you are sanctified, and you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. You see, notice the prohibition, verses 9 and 10. He talks about, here's the law. He says that if these sins are your identity, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You say, man, we better stick that up on the news tomorrow morning because people are defending some of these things, saying that it's all right. What does God say? What does God say? Notice the list. And we're going to see that later. But notice the law. He says the same thing in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 21. He says idolatry. He says, the works of the flesh are manifest are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. Those first four are sexual sins. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy. Wow, now we're beginning to go from preaching to meddling. Factions, seditions, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the like. In other words, I'm not giving you a whole list. Of which I tell you before, and I've told you at times past, that they that practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He says something also, and this is the law, the principle that goes forth. He says the same thing in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him does not habitually practice sin. Whosoever habitually practices sin hath not seen him, neither known him. Now, he that habitually practices, and that's the word for commits, is of the devil, and the devil has sinned from the beginning. He says, and in this manner the children of God are manifest, the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth righteousness is not of God, neither he that doesn't love his brother. He talks about a law or a principle. In other words, can salvation take place and repentance not take place? That's the point. Repentance simply means to turn around. You were going in a certain direction, and now you turn around. Notice the list that he has. And I'm not going to try to explain or expose all the list because most of it is explanatory. But you're going to notice he starts out in all of these, he talks about fornicators. That's all type of sexual sin. Adulterers. That's people that have a illicit relationship outside of marriage. Effeminate is perhaps the female type of in a homosexual relationship. Abusers of themselves with mankind. You see, it was accepted within society. Fact is, 14 out of 15 of the emperors in Rome were homosexual. They think that Plato and Socrates was also homosexual. And I think that it was given, and it was a given thing within society. It's a given thing, and it's a given thing within our society. We're doing a terrible injustice in this way. That the whole thing is about a physical relationship between a man and woman. I don't care if it's transgender or gender identification. I have a terrible time with gender identification. I really do because I'm so old. It was like this. If you have two X chromosomes, then you're a female. If you have an X and a Y, then you're a male. I mean, it's like, well, I don't feel like I am. Well, take a check. Do you have two X's or do you have an X and a Y? It's like this. But I'm so confused. Maybe you have a mental problem. I mean, it's like this. I don't get it. But it's because when I came into the world, it was sex, male or female. It's like, well, but look how old you are. Yeah, it's changed a whole lot in the last 70 years. But I think that what happens, though, is that in a sex-driven society, everything is about sex and having sex. And it's not. You mean there's more to life than that? Yes. The problem is as Christians, we can fall into the same pattern. We can fall into notice what the list is awfully similar, because he goes on to then with covetousness and thieves and drunkards and slanderers and swindlers. He doesn't just stop with one. And also, he doesn't just slam the homosexual community. He also hits the heterosexual community. He talks about the whole thing. But the problem that you have, notice back in chapter 5 and in verse, he says, the man that is called a brother, verse 11, a fornicator, covetous, idolater, railer, drunkard, extortioner, and such. Wow, similar list. Now, what's the difference between chapter 5 and chapter 6? Christians could fall into the same pattern as a non-Christian. Christians can do the same thing as non-Christians. What sins can a Christian commit? Any sin that a non-Christian. Why? Because I'm wrapped up in an unredeemed body. But what Satan wants to do is he says, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. And God says it's not okay. There's a problem. Now, I wish that he would tell me when you step over the line. I mean, how long do you have to do this before you're really lost and never saved to begin with? I don't know. He doesn't give me a time card on here. But in Galatians and in Corinthians and even in 1 John, if this is your identity, then you have a problem. If fornication is your identity, you have a problem. If you're an habitual adulterer, you have a problem. It always reminds me. I had a counseling session when I came here. I hadn't been here very long. And the fellow was having an affair. I said, you have to quit. You have to quit. And he says, well, could it just taper off? I said, you're not smoking. It's not smoking. And I think there, once again, you have to quit. I think that the difference between those that are believing and those that aren't, there's a place in my life when I find that this is sinful, it's separating from God. And by the way, I cannot continually do these things and walk with God in an honest manner. I've got to get to the place that I deal with it. And so when I begin to deal with it, then I begin to turn around. Does it mean this may not be a problem? I think that everything on this list, I think that we are so whacked up because of sin. And when we come into the world, physically, I have a problem. Some of you will have heart problems. Some of you will have cancer. Some of you will, and it's a hereditary thing. And so my body is weak and prone to certain things. Psychologically, I've said this before, every one of us is just a little bit nuts. I mean, I have ADD. What's your problem? And so psychologically, from the time when I come to know Jesus Christ, I'm whacked up. And then it's not what I do. Sometimes it's what's been done to me. And I have to deal with some of those things. And it's not always easy, psychologically. But then spiritually, anytime I find a list, guess what? Fornication may not be your problem, but you may be as greedy as all get out. You may not have any trouble with homosexuality, but let me tell you, you are a liar. You don't tell the truth. And when you come, did you ever notice that when kids come into the world, I don't have to teach them a certain thing? They come in with a certain bent. I have like 13 grandkids. Some of them, did you do that? Yeah, I did that. Then I have others that must take after my wife or something since she's not here. Because it's like, oh, I didn't do it. I don't know what you're talking about. You know it's not true, because it's terrible to be married to somebody that I think when she came into the world, I think out of the 9 fruit of the Spirit, I think that she had 8. And on a good day, I have 1.5. I mean, it's like, so if there's any problem in this generation thing, it's usually me. But whenever you have a list of sins, there's a sin that does so easily beset us. Your problem, like I said, may not be fornication, but it may be slander. It may be you're a gossip. It may be that you just love money so much that, I mean, you'll do anything for a buck. And I think there, once again, I think within the body of Christ, that not only am I messed up physically and emotionally, psychologically, but also spiritually. And I need to realize that the things that's on this list, it can be any one of us. It can be any one of us. But what I like is not only the prohibition. I like what we have in verse 11. Notice what he says in verse 11. And here's the position. And such were some of you. Wow. I don't know where you're at on that list, but I thank God. I've been on that list. I know where I'm at. I know where I fit. And I know where the sin that does so easily beset me. And such were some of you. You mean some were homosexuals? Right. You mean some were fornicators? Right. You mean some were adulterers? Right. You mean some of these people were covetous? That's right. And some were drunkards? That's right. You see, and such were some of you. You see, but this is what I was. And this is who I am. But you were washed. And you were sanctified. And you are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, I don't have to go around my stinking thinking anymore. I don't have to hang on. See, this is what they were. This is what they were. But thank God it's not what we are. Because I've been washed. My sins are gone. My sins are gone. They're washed. I've been sanctified. I've been set apart to God and for God. And guess what? I'm not only sanctified, but I've been cleansed. I've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. He says, but you are justified. That means declared righteous. Declared righteous. Positionally before God. That's who I am. That's what he sees. And he says, and this was of the Lord. That's what he goes on to say. Notice as it says in the last of verse 11. He says, you've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means declared righteous. My sins are gone. I'm not who I used to be. I am what he sees me. And he wants me to begin to live this. I don't care what your past is. I don't care what you've done. I don't care the stupid things that you've grabbed a hold of. And you are right now, there's some of you, every one of you, there's some of you here this morning trying to fill a God-shaped emptiness with something only God can fill. But he wants to wash you. And he wants to sanctify you. And he wants to, there once again, he wants to justify you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, by his Spirit. Why? Why does he bring out? First of all, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, name means character. I'm as pure as he is pure, as righteous as he is righteous, and holy as he is holy. Why? Because that's the way God sees me. And I've been done this by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, if God can take a worthless nothing, nobody and if he can do that, let me tell you, I don't care what sin that you're dealing with this morning. I don't care what your problem is this morning. The same power that resides within you, the same power that gave you new life, can also give you freedom, and you don't need to continue in the stinking thinking. And the stinking thinking of lost people. You have something brand new, and you've been plugged into a tremendous power source known as the Holy Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit is the power in which I can live, in which I can move, in which he says, if you'll know the truth will set you free. And the truth is that I don't have to live like I used to. I don't have to continue to go down that same path. Why? Because I am in Jesus Christ, and the power of Jesus Christ resides within me. You see, you're not your own. But this is my body. I can do as I please. What if it's not your body? Isn't it interesting that if God can do all that He said that He did in verse 11, He can set you free. If God can do all this, He can set you free. If God made you, then God can fix you. I'm not saying you won't have any struggles, because God did a screwy thing. To me, it's screwy, but to Him, it makes sense. I am a body, soul, and a spirit. I have an unredeemed thinker, feeler, chooser, stuck in an unredeemed body. And then I have in the spirit, I have the very person of Jesus Christ. And there's where the wrestle comes in. Because within my unredeemed, think it, feel it, choose it, it's unredeemed. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, do you always think what you're supposed to think? Do you always feel what you're supposed to think? Do you always choose what you're supposed to do? I rest my case. You have an unredeemed thinker, feeler, and chooser. It works in your mind. And so then what? Satan comes in, that unredeemed thinker, feeler, chooser. And then guess what? I think it, I feel it, I choose it, and I do it. What carries it out? It's my unredeemed body. And then there's something called the spirit that's on the inside that says, no. And two-thirds of me says, wait a minute. Whoa. So I fall off the cliff. But what do? I need to get to the place that I feed my spirit. I feed my spirit. How do I feed my spirit? You need to spend more time in the Word. You need to spend more time with prayer. You need to spend more time with God's people. And you need to worship God. How do I worship? I need to see God all around me. He's left His fingerprint on everything. And I need to see this great God. So as I build up my spirit, then my spirit affects my thinker, my feeler, my chooser, and then it affects my body. Some of you, your thinker, feeler, and chooser is leading you down the wrong path. Let me tell you why. Your spirit is empty. You're not spending time in the Word. You're not spending time in prayer. You're not spending time with godly people that's going to encourage you. And also, life just happens. Begin to go back to the physical gym, the spiritual gym. And begin to spend time in the Word, time in prayer, time with God's people, time in worship. And then to see what God's going to do as He begins to work. What? It's by His Spirit. I have been changed by the Spirit of God. Did you ever notice what He says also earlier? The preaching of the cross is to them that are perishing foolishness. But to those of us who are being saved, it's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. You see, the same thing that is foolishness to people that are lost. Man, I am being saved. What do you mean being saved? Well, on a certain date, I came to know Jesus Christ, and I have been saved from the penalty of sin. I am being saved from the power of sin. And one day, I'm going to be saved from the very presence of sin. But thank God, I'm saved. And I don't have to live like I used to live. Because the greater is He that's in you, little children, than he that's in the world. And thanks be unto God, who gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to live like you used to live, because He lives within. Notice in the property, in verses 12 to 18, he says, there's two things that the Corinthians had a saying. Two little quotes, and so he gives them both. All things are lawful unto me. Boy, they loved that one. I mean, they milked that cow until it was dry. All things are lawful. All things are lawful. Then the other one was, food is for the body, and the body is for food. That was another quote. Well, then Paul goes along and says, wait a minute, he doesn't mean all things are lawful. He's already given me a whole list of things that weren't lawful. So he's not saying all, but that was what they said. All things are lawful. All things are lawful. He says, wait a minute. You need to toss this into context. Let's say that all things are lawful. I've got to make a decision. I may be able to do it, but is it best for me? Because all things are not expedient. All things are not beneficial. And so here you are going to make it. You're going to make a decision. I have an unredeemed body. I've got to make a choice. And there's, okay, you can go into debt for $300,000 if you want. It's lawful. But it sure isn't wise, because you can only handle $183. So I said $1,000. I thought, well, that's really taking it for... No. All things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. It's not beneficial. Here's the second thing. All things are lawful. That's what they said. But is it going to take my freedom? Is it going to enslave me? And so when I make a decision, I was going to say, you can smoke weed if you want. And then I thought, whoops, it hadn't passed yet. It will. You can drink. But is it wise? Is it good for you? Is it going to enslave you? Whoa. It might be legal, but it may not be right. It may not be best. And so before I make a decision, here's what I have. One, is it the best? Is this the best decision I can make with the situation of God? If it's not the best, why go that way? The second thing that he says, is it going to give me more freedom or less freedom? And you'll find that, wow, this really tosses out a lot of different areas and but notice the principle. It's like social drinking. I about said gluttony, but then I looked out in the congregation. I thought, well, that may be too damaging. It can be sports. It can be recreation. It can be credit cards. It can be the stock market. It can be anything. There's some things that literally take your freedom, and it's not worth it. And so here I am wrapped up in an unredeemed body, and the principle he tosses out, sure, let's just take your saying. All things are lawful, but not all things are best. All things are lawful, but will it enslave you? And so he tosses out a principle that we need to toss out. Then notice the pattern in verse 13 and 14. Here's the second thing. Food is for the body, and the body for food. But then, you know, now here's the way that he carried it out. Then sex is for the body, and the body's for sex. Oh. But notice what he says. Now, the body is not for fornication. And guess what? All these things, whether food or not, they're going to pass away. They're going to be gone. And then what? And God hath raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. What he's saying there again. They were saying, why did God make me this way? Food's good. That's the thing they had. Food's for the body, the body's for food. Sex is for the body, the body's for sex. He said, well, wait a minute. That's not right. Because what they were saying is this. I have a spiritual walk. What happens in my spirit is okay. What happens in my body? Let me tell you what is an excuse. We have all kind of excuses for the sins that we commit. Well, why did God make me this way if he didn't want me to do it? Well, sort of like my cousin. I had 4 out of my 5 cousins who were alcoholics. And one of them said, Murray, if you drank as much as I did, you'd be an alcoholic. Oh, so what's the answer? Don't drink. Oh, that's pretty good. No, what he's saying is that isn't even the issue. Your body belongs to the Lord, and your Lord for the body. What does God want me to do with this? Because guess what? It's all going to fail. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. He says, and guess what? All these things are passing away. The word there for destroy means it's going to become benign. It's going to become inoperative. It's not going. Oh, if you don't believe it, I bet you, even Hugh Hefner wasn't laying there on his deathbed saying, man, just bring me another woman. What? It's all going to go. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life, and all these things will pass away. You mean that someday it's not even going to matter to a billionaire if he has $1 billion? Not when he's dead or dying. Do you realize that when you get so old, you'll get to a place you really don't want to eat? And that may have been a problem. And you're going to focus your whole life on something that doesn't really matter for very long? Because guess what? He says, but the will of God abides forever. Let's take this body and use it for something that will bring honor and glory to a living God. Because you belong to the Lord. And your Lord, he says, I beg of you, please, in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beg of you, please, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. It's the least that you can do. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll know the will of God, which is good, acceptable, and perfect. If you're dabbling in sexual sin, if you're dabbling in some of these things, you're not going to know the will of God. You're not going to hear God speak. It's going to be deaf and dumb when it comes to spiritual things. I want something that not only get to know God, but I want to get to the place that I can take this body and use it for something that's going to bring honor and glory to Him, because I don't do what I want to do anymore. What does He want me to do? Where does He want me to go? Because He's L-O-R-D. This body belongs to the L-O-R-D, and the L-O-R-D belongs to... You know what a Lord does? A Lord can do anything He jolly well pleases. And I've given God the right to do with me whatever He wants. And I say, okay, God, I'll go where You want. I'll be what You want. I'll do what You want. But then notice the partnership. And He says in verse 15 to verse 18, know you not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and I'll make it a member of a harlot? By the way, harlotry and prostitution was big in those days. Corinth, they said at the temple of Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus there were 10,000 prostitutes, 1,000 within the temple. It was a money making deal, but also not only did they have women, they also had men and boys. Because guess what? The emperors, whenever the 14 out of the 15, once a boy got 16, they didn't want him anymore. They wanted boys that were 10 to 16. You say, well, that's sick. Guess what? It invaded society. And prostitution was a problem. Notice this. Would you take the members of Christ and make it a members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know you not that if you're joined to a harlot, the two becomes one? In other words, it's more than just going to bed with somebody. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Is one spirit. He says in verse 18, he says, flee fornication, every sin that a man does outside the body. But he that commits fornication, there's something that happens emotionally to him that's much deeper than just going to bed with somebody. And so notice there once again the partnership. Notice the connection. The two become one. And Paul even talks. He says, you want to connect Jesus Christ to something that's illicit? Of course not. The two become one. It doesn't mean it to become husband and wife, but there's a whole lot. When you go to bed with somebody, it's a whole lot deeper than just a physical or an emotional release. There's something deeper that goes on when you go to bed. But notice this. The two become one flesh. But notice what's even deeper and more precious than that. He that is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit. Wow. When I am connected with Jesus Christ, one spirit. I have a purpose and meaning for being alive. There's one aim. There's one desire. There's one will. There's one mind. How in the world, if I am connected to Jesus Christ, why in the world would you mess it up by going to bed with somebody that's not your partner? Come on. Come on. Did you see, though, how closely related I am to Jesus Christ? It does matter what happens in this body. It does matter what I do with my money. It does matter what I do with my time. It does matter where I go. It does matter what I do. Why? Because where I go, Jesus goes. And what I do, Jesus does. And what I say, Jesus is there. Whoa! And so what He wants me to do is there once again. It's not your body. It belongs to Him. And what would Jesus Christ have me do? Then notice the caution. Flee. Don't talk about it. Don't argue about it. The Greek is an imperative. It means flee and flee continually. Once you start running, don't look back. Like that fella, well, can I taper off? No, run. And don't look back. Don't even dabble with it. Don't think about it. Don't move it. Just move out of the road and keep right on going. It was much like Joseph and Potiphar's wife. He left his coat and took off. Whoa! They threw him in prison for 12 years, but at least he made the right choice. So what we need to do, do whatever it takes to stop sinning. Stop. Run. Because guess what? There's some of you that need to stop watching pornography. And of course, I'm just looking up at the wall because I don't want to catch any eye contact. But guess what? You start someplace, flee, and continue to flee. Why? Because this body belongs to Jesus Christ, and I don't want to do anything to hurt Jesus Christ. Every problem that I have starts with a spiritual problem and becomes a physical problem. The problem isn't fornication. The problem is my walk with Jesus Christ. The problem is not my husband, it's not my wife, it's me. Did you ever notice in Ephesians chapter 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein it is excess, but be filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit, speaking unto yourselves psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in your heart as unto the Lord, and giving thanks, submitting yourselves one to another. And then husbands to your wife, wife to your husband. Do you notice what the whole thing starts? Do you know why you have problems within your home and family? When my wife is right with the Lord and when I'm right with the Lord, it's amazing that He takes care of the problems within my family. If I have a problem, guess what? It's a spiritual problem. Let me tell you, the problem isn't fornication. The problem isn't drunkenness. The problem isn't covetousness. The problem is that you're not right with God. And God says, hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I belong to you. You belong to me. Let's live like it. Because guess what? We are one spirit. And God has a purpose and meaning. You're going to notice in not only, but notice His presence in verse 19 and 20. And I love this. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have of God, and you're not your own? For we are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Notice His place. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Wow, what a concept. Whom you have of God, God gave it to you, and you're not your own. This body doesn't belong to me. It's been given to me, and I give it back to Him. Why? Because I'm a temple. I'm a temple, and I sacrifice, and I give whatever is needed. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Therefore you should glorify God in it. Notice what He goes on to say then. Notice His purchase. When these physical problems come in, could I challenge you to go back to the cross? I've been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. If you're having trouble in wrestling, guess what? Go back to the cross. And He says, Father, forgive them. He says, it is finished. And guess what? I don't have to live under that old stinking thinking and that old condemnation. Because in Christ there is therefore now no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus. And then notice His praise. Therefore, because of the purchase, because of what God, glorify God in your body. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Guess what? He doesn't just want to do a work on the outside. He wants to do a work in my spirit. He wants to do a work on the inside. Your problem this morning is not physical. The problem this morning is spiritual. Get your heart right with God, and it's amazing what God will do day after day after day. And I need to start now. My question is this. First of all, as you begin to look at those list of sins and shall not enter the kingdom of God, there's some of you here this morning, you say, Pastor, I don't even know Jesus Christ. If I were to die right now, I'm not sure that I'd spend eternity in heaven. If the answer is no or I don't know, I want you to slip out of your seat and I'll be glad to meet me here at the front. I'll be glad to share with you how you can know Jesus Christ. But there's some of you you've been struggling and struggling and struggling. Could I challenge you? I don't know what your problem is. It may not even be a sexual sin. But there's a sin that does so easily beset you that's whipping you and whipping you daily. And I need to say, okay, God, I'm tired of this. I need you. The Spirit that lives within me. And two times He mentioned it. First of all, I was brought and bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then His Spirit came to live on the inside of me. That's a tremendous power that I have. And greater is He that's in you, little children, than He that's in the world. Why do I give an invitation? It's like this. I hear what you're saying. And I'm going to begin right now. I want to adjust my life to do what God wants me to do. You say, well, I'll deal with this when I get home. I don't want you to deal with it when you get home. God is speaking to you now. We're going to sing, Change My Heart, O God. If you'd like to know Jesus Christ, slip out. I'll be glad to share with you. Stand right here. Say, Pastor, I'd like to know Jesus Christ. But some of you here this morning, and I tossed out a message. Tough message. But there's some of you that need to say, okay, God, my body belongs to you. It doesn't belong to me anymore. I want you to do something not only in my body, but I want you to do something in my spirit that belongs to you also. Because your biggest problem starts deep within, not outside. If God is dealing with you, as we sing, change my heart, let's all stand. Slip out. An altar is just a place where a man or a woman meets God.
Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the Father. I am the slave. Mold me and make
what he's saying.
Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you.
Our Father, I thank you so very much. I'm not what I was, but I thank God that I'm not what I'm going to be. I would ask you, Lord Jesus, that we would realize that we've been bought with a price. What price? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. May we live this next week in light of who you are. But our biggest desire is that you would change us inside out in Jesus' name. Amen.